My name is Emmett Scout, and I'll be reading today's scripture. Today's scripture reading is Mark 10, verses 35 through 45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know those who are regarded as the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me as we begin? Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this special Sunday. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable to you, and that you, Lord, would speak into the minds and hearts of those being confirmed and to all those who overhear this sermon, whether they are online, whether they are in the sanctuary. May it be a blessing. May it be a blessing because you are present with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you know there's more than one way to see things. Is that fair? Is that fair? Oh, by the way, those of you being confirmed, this is where you interact. I didn't tell you that. That's part of the ground rules, is I need you to kind of respond back. Others can as well. Feel free to join in. Would you agree there's more than one way to see things? Yeah, you say it to your parents all the time, right? Because they're saying one thing, and you're like, but can't you see it my way? So here's something. You've seen these optical illusions before. Is it a duck or a rabbit? Yeah, some of you are like, it's definitely a rabbit, right? But look at the duck. See, the more you look to the right, the more it's a duck. The more you look to the left, it's a rabbit. The more you look up, it's a rabbit. See the rabbit laying on his back? Yeah, it's an easy one, right? Look at this one. Profile, is that a profile shot or a face first shot? I think that's the most interesting one. And there's only two, so it's not hard, but which is it, profile or is it straight ahead? You can flip. Can you flip it in your head? Can you flip it and see both ways if you blink? There's just more than one way of seeing things. Now, you can take that down. Here's my question for you. Here's the thing I want you to be thinking about because this is our sermon series we're in right now. What is a meaningful life? What makes for a meaningful life? That's what I want you to be thinking about this morning. What makes for a meaningful life? Where are you going to find a meaningful life? Well, one way to see that question, one way to think of that question, is to accept the common view in our society that a meaningful life will be found through greatness. If I can just be the great. You know, there's an acronym for this. Anybody know the acronym? You know what a GOAT is? The what? The greatest of all time. Yeah, thank you for the support over here. We're grateful. Yeah, the greatest of all time. You know, one of the people who's the greatest of all times was a guy that we call Alexander the Great. See, it's right there. Alexander the Great, who in 336 BC took over the kingdom of Macedon, which is a part of Greece, from his father, Philip III, at the ripe old age of 20. At 20. And by the time he is 30, he has conquered the known world. He has conquered from Greece all the way on the map through Iran, Iraq, down into North Africa, Egypt, all the way over into the northwest portion of India in 10 years. So they called him Alexander the Great. And our culture, deeply influenced by Greeks and Romans, the West is what that's called. The United States is deeply influenced by that space. We're becoming a much more international space now, but these frameworks are still here. So I need two volunteers, please. Raise your hand. You're number one. Emmett, come on up. And in the back, number two. Yes, with the white and the, yes, that's you. Come on up. And I'm sorry I didn't know your name. I apologize. Tell me your name.
Maddie,
thank you for being so gracious. Please come here. And would you please have a seat? Please have a seat. You know what you're sitting on? Maddie, let me do this. Let me take this out of here because that's going to be uncomfortable. So, let's get yours. All right. What does this look like they're sitting on? Sitting on the throne. Because we're going to make them what? We're going to make them great, folks. And this is not just your average material here. This material right here and this material right here, woven special material. Made of purple and gold, all right? And those are what colors? Those are royal colors, exactly. But that's not all. We're really going to make you great. So the first thing we want to bring, oh, by the way, the throne itself that you're sitting on is a symbol of power. Power and position. And let me tell you something. People want power and position in our society. True story. People want it. It's not just like the big, fabulous, wealthy people. Most people want a sense of power and position in their own life. And so now we have other accoutrements of this. We're going to bring you a couple things to help you with this. First, if you'd each stand up, we're going to give you a royal robe. Why? Because nothing helps you feel like you've got power and position like a royal robe. And these are very special robes. Maybe also one of them looks like a cape I wore a few weeks ago, but nonetheless. And see, come on, be honest. Don't you feel a little bit better about yourself wearing the royal cape? See, come on, do you, Maddie? Oh, come on, Maddie. Emmett, come on. A little bit. Thank you for that honesty. We're all going to pray for you because I feel like, you know what? I feel like when I wear a cape, I'm just a better person. I really do. So I may wear it around the office sometimes when no one's looking. Okay, you can have a seat because now we're going to do something else. We're going to give you wealth. We're going to give you wealth, and wealth comes in the form of these cases. Maddie, maybe you're getting a little more wealth. Yeah. See there? Emmett, come on, be honest. Are you feeling a little jealous? Yeah, right? Now, I just want to notice something. I just thought about this morning when I realized these were two sides. I thought, one of them is actually going to envy the other, yes, empty box. Why? Because smaller and, Maddie?
Bigger.
And bigger is?
Better.
You better believe it, Maddie. It always will be, too. Why? Because you've been deeply influenced by the Greeks and the Romans. And we're going to give you more signs of position and power and security and wealth. Hey, by the way, most people in our, I think many people would like to be wealthy. You know they want to be wealthy because they play the lottery and they just waste money all the time on the lottery, hoping to hit it big. Literally millions of people play the lottery trying to hit it big. But you know what people want who maybe never get true great wealth? They want security. Most of us have that need. Actually, the Bible talks about having security not as a bad thing. But it gets so muddled, the fine line between having enough and wanting bigger. That's the hard thing. So now you get another accoutrement of your positions this morning. You, Emmett, you receive power and you receive position. Look at Maddie's face, everyone. Oh, Maddie is wounded at the lack of equity. Maddie, it appears, also wants a sword. You get a scepter, Maddie. You'd rather have that. Do you see what's happening? I've given them plastic stuff. And they're both like, is this it? You get to be royalty for a day? Is this what's your? But Maddie, it's a real emotion, isn't it? See, we all got, did you hear? She goes, if I get the sword, you get the bigger box. Could I do that? Emmett, what do you think?
I'll pass.
I'll pass, which tells you something else about the civilization in which you've been raised. Think about it, friends. Why do they both want the sword? Because sword is real power. And we're seeing that on a global stage right now. Do we have anything else for them? Oh, yes. You would never be complete without a crown upon your head. And you know what that is? That is luxury and indulgence. Luxury and indulgence. And you, hey, look at each other. You each got the same crown. You each got the same crown, and both of you are thinking that's not much of a crown. That was shiny. No, you know what's so sad? Here's what's so sad about that, Maddie. When you look at somebody else's crown, you can't tell that your own is just as shiny. Is hers just as shiny? Yeah, it's just as shiny. You two couldn't be any better this morning. I may keep you for the next service. You're so fabulous. It never occurred to me. Hey, let me ask you something real fast. How does it feel? Does it? Doesn't it, Maddie? How does it feel?
It feels like I'm a little kid
It feels like I'm a little kid playing dress up. Hey, Maddie, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
That's, everybody hear what she just said? There are a lot of adults who actually are little kids playing dress up because they have all the accoutrement, say accoutrement. They have all the accoutrement of luxury, security, wealth, power, privilege. They've got it all. And it's never enough. And that's what little kids are like. You can give kids, little kids, who don't, I mean, we wouldn't ask a little child to have all the maturity of an adult, but there are some adults who no matter what you give them, it's never enough. Like little kids playing dress up. Some people go through their adult life that way. Can you all give a hand to our two volunteers? Your reign is over. Just set your things right there. There you go. That's just, you all, unbelievable. Oh, you can keep your cape on, or you can wear, see? See, just as I said, and you all think I'm kidding about the cape. It always feels better to wear a cape. Yeah, now maybe before you're confirmed, we'll take the capes off, but for now, hold on to them, because you know, if you wear them too much, people think you're odd, is what I found, so, okay. Hey, we can look at greatness from another lens. Remember the rabbit and the duck? Remember the straight on or profile? We can look at greatness, and what Jesus does is he says, I want to give you a different way to look at it. Because he had these two disciples, James and John, and James and John came to him and they said, hey, here's the text. You heard this morning. They came to him and they say, hey, Jesus, let us sit one on your right and one on your left when you come into power and authority. Just give us those spots. What happens to the other 10? Not our problem. Give us these spots. And Jesus said, I need to teach you about greatness. And Jesus gave us a different way of looking at it. And he said, if you want to be great, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. There is no adult in this room who's like, whoo, yeah. Most of us resonate more with this and less with this. That's the culture in which we've all been raised. Whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of all. That's a hard word to use in our culture right now because of all of our, we've been looking back at American history, looking back at world history, the word slave, that's a hard word. But you know what a slave is? A slave is a fully bonded servant forever. For the human one, this is called the Common English Bible, and that's how they translate the phrase Son of Man. It's a messianic title. It's a title of the Messiah. Son of Man, so masculine, it limits our view of God. Human one is why they chose that. You can like it or not like it, but that's just the rationale. For the human one didn't come to be served, but what? Rather to serve, say it with me, to serve, and give his life to liberate many people. And so James and John come seeking greatness, and Jesus says, if you want to find greatness, it's not going to be found in the best seats and the most power. Jesus knew servanthood was the pathway to greatness because he had followed it himself. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus left the throne of heaven, came into the world to live a meaningful life and give his life for others. And as a result of what he did, Christ offers us that which is truly priceless, a life in which we have the assurance of heaven and a life that is abundant now on earth. We can live a meaningful life when we receive Christ and then serve others. It's been said, your life is a gift that God gives you. What you do with it is the gift you give to God. Does that make sense? Your life is the gift God gives to you. What you do with it is the gift that you give to God. Jesus said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. You can do these three things. Today's Confirmation Sunday, in the decision you make today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and join the church, which we believe to be the body of Christ on earth today, is in many ways a decision. Everybody look up here. It's a decision about where the meaningful life is found. Where will I find the meaningful life? And can I tell you something? I want you to have a really meaningful life. I have spent my entire adult life pointing people to Jesus because I think that's where the meaningful life is found. And I think what people want at the end of time, at the end of their time, is to know their life had meaning. This decision is not about joining a church. You will join the church. I celebrate that. I love the church. But there's a deeper decision, and the deeper decision is about following Jesus Christ. And there are two things you're going to gain if you do that. If you really follow Christ, there are two things you're going to gain. And the first thing is this: you're going to have a way to be in life. A way to be in life. Say a way to be. Say a little bit louder. Would everybody help them say a way to be? You're going to have a way to be. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to bring people up one by one and just point them out, but I'm afraid it would embarrass them. I can actually do it. As people have been walking in this morning, I've been sort of taking a little tally. I've got examples of most of what I wrote down in this sermon while I was preparing it. We have people in this church who every week distribute food to people in our community whose families have food scarcity. You may not know it, but there are people your age who open a pantry and say, I'm hungry, and there's just not much there, except that there's a group of people who are handing out food, helping families, making sure that when they open the pantry, there's something healthy, there's something worthwhile, there's something nourishing. And most of the people that they're giving that food to are working people. And there's not enough in the home. And I just think it's just marvelous. I think it's amazing that there are people in our church who get up every week and actually care. Don't you think it's amazing? See, it's a way to be. It's a way to be, to notice and actually care and do something. There are people in this church, I made kind of a long list, that there are people who give generously. This week, somebody came to me because of problems that they could not have predicted, that are out of their control, that could have happened to any of us in this room. They can't pay their rent this month. You know how hard it is for somebody to say, I need help? I mean, it is super hard. But there's a family in this church who, out of their excess, because they're not just about having the biggest box with the most in it, they know the difference between security and the need of wealth, gave the church some money months ago and said, we just trust you. And when the need arises, handle it. And when this person said, because of all these things, I need help on rent, I finally just said, you don't need to say more. The church is going to pay it. A church can only do that when somebody understands what it means to be a Christian. I'm not talking about checking a box or saying where you're a member of. I'm talking about a way of being. You know, a couple years ago, we have the Child Rescue Center in Sierra Leone. That used to be a, a, an institution. That used to be an orphanage. Now it's family-based care. It's a different model. But there was a time when it was a building, and children lived in it, and staff cared for them. And a few years ago, Ebola came to Sierra Leone, Africa. And if you think what we've been doing for 2 years is bad, Ebola is the worst death any human being is going to ever experience. I think that's it's in that category. And right when Ebola hit, and the children were most at need of care and protection from that terrible disease, which does kill you every time, the director left. And the director said, "You know what? I think my time here is done." And so suddenly our partners in West Africa said, "We've got a little problem. We don't have a director." And they called their partners here and said, "We got a problem. We all prayed about that. We all thought about that." And there was a couple who used to be members here. They live up north now, but they used to be members here. And they raised their hand and they said, "We're going to fly to Sierra Leone and we will act as the directors with the staff." Why? Because they were friends of almost all the staff, and it wouldn't be sitting on a throne. It would be friends working together. And they flew into the Ebola crisis and lived there for months and months and months. They took a little break for Christmas to see their family, and they came back. You know why? Because at some point in their life, they said, "I'm going to follow Jesus." This is a way of being. You know what? Even you're doing it. You're doing it. Oh, yeah, yesterday I spent about an hour and 10 minutes with one of the folks, one of the adults, who has been watching you all during this entire confirmation process. I said, "What have you noticed?" And he said, "You know what amazes me about this group? What amazes me, and they come from all of these different schools, so they don't really necessarily know each other before they start, but I saw them taking care of one another. I saw sometimes when there was one student who's more introverted, sometimes a more extroverted student would go, 'Hey, come over, sit over here. I'm going to sit with you,' and talking and getting along. I don't know if that was true for all of you, but that's something he observed. And to the extent it has been true, and frankly, when Barbara and I came up on the retreat last weekend, honest to goodness, I have never been with a group of students any more polite, any more engaged, any more joyful to be with. I mean, I was just sorry I had to spend the day with a bunch of adults and couldn't get to you sooner. The adults were great. I think you were being Christians. It's also a way of seeing. It's a way of seeing. So it's a way of being, it's a way of seeing. It's a way to see life. When we live as Jesus lived, we see the goodness of God all around us. And because we see the goodness of God all around us, we begin to see the beauty in the people around us. And you know what happens when you see people the way Jesus saw them? You notice. You notice when they're lonely. You notice when they're down. You notice when they're anxious. You notice when they're feeling left out. You notice when they're included. You notice. And when you see the world the way Jesus saw it, a servanthood arises within you when you have a relationship with Christ. That's the only thing I can tell you. A servanthood arises and you start saying, "I can help with that. I can do that. I'm willing. I'm happy to be involved." Why does that make such a difference? Because nobody is going to ever be able to tell you into Christianity. Nobody's going to be able to force you to be a Christian. You just can't do it. You have to come to know Jesus. And what I have found by reading the Gospels, what I have found by attending to my spiritual life in church, by receiving the sacraments, by praying regularly, by attending to all of these disciplines that we've been trying to teach you during confirmation, I notice that when I do that, there is a servanthood that arises within me. And when I don't do it, I'm just Tom. Some days good, some days bad. A lot of variability. And frankly, some days I can go so far as to say, "Why isn't my box bigger? Why don't I have more of everything?" And Jesus liberates us from the life which ultimately does not bring meaning, because it's based on a greatness that's all about position, power, security, wealth. But when you walk with Jesus, friends, that's going to be an adventure. I mean, it's just an adventure. I have met people in the world I would have never met. One of my dearest friends, a pastor and a bishop in Sierra Leone, Africa, who died last year, one of my dearest friends, he and I sat, the last time we sat together, we just began to reminisce about all the things we had done together, and we both said, can you believe that God enabled us to do all these things? And when I got the news of his death, I was so heartbroken. But even in that great loss, I was experiencing a love that Jesus placed into my life. That's what you get. I've gone to places in the globe I would have never gone. I have seen things that I never thought I would care about because they were in other countries, in Mexico and in Africa, and different places that I've been where I actually began to care. Your life can be just like that. Along the way, you're smart people. You're probably going to have security. You're probably going to use your good minds and get good jobs. But you know what? I know people in this church that run corporations and businesses, and they're not just out to get more and more and more. When I talk to them and say, how's your work going? Often what they talk about is, well, we're really trying to take care of our employees right now. We're really trying to keep everybody employed. Why? Because they know the connection between their leadership and how it's going in people's personal lives. So it doesn't matter where you end up if you follow Jesus. And you're about to come and be confirmed in just a minute. I hope you get a life of being a servant for Christ. I hope you get a life of seeing the world and the people in the world and the environment and the stewardship that we are called to have of everything. I hope you see it the way Jesus wants you to see it. Because that, friends, is life-changing. Well, James and John, they followed. Tradition tells us that James was probably the first martyr. That means someone who is killed for his faith. John ends up having the Gospel of John attributed to him, the letters of John attributed to him, and the Revelation of John attributed to him. And we believe he died on an island called Patmos, in jail because of his faith, and before he dies, God gives him a revelation of what the end of time will look like, and what he sees at the end of time is not himself on a throne. You know who's on the throne in his vision? What's always the right answer in church? Jesus. Remember, I told you that. Jesus is on the throne, and John's in a prison cell, and if I went to John and James and I said, hey, did you have a meaningful life, what do you think the answer would be? Oh, yeah. Because guess what? We're still talking about him 2,000 years later. But the people who threw him in prison, they're just one of many that sat on thrones like these whose life ultimately never mattered. I hope you have a rich, meaningful life. I hope you confirm your faith, and I hope you live it out. Amen.